Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Stephen Balzac again. He's a professor of psychology, president of Seven Steps Ahead, which is at sevenstepsahead.com, and that's a business that applies sports psychology to businesses. He's also a fourth-degree black belt in jiu-jitsu and a former nationally ranked fencer. He has a daughter who's also a fencer. Today, we're going to talk about imagining success. We're also here with my brother, mental game coach, Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi,
Patrick.
Hi, Stephen.
Well, now let's talk about this whole idea of imaging. How do you go about doing it?
Well, what I like to start with is just sort of the basic concept, and we're kind of all familiar with this nowadays with computers, of what you see is what you get, and what you imagine is what you get. Essentially, the way our brains work is our bodies do the things we are thinking about doing. You know, it's like if you say, don't think of an elephant, what goes into your head?
An elephant.
Exactly. If a student is thinking, don't drop my partner, they drop their partner when they're learning to do a throw.
Uh-huh.
It's whatever you put in your head controls the outcome. And since we really only think of one thing at a time, and, you know, we all have tried doing multiple things at once, we know how hard that is. Fundamentally, if we think about success, if we visualize success, if we imagine success, we prepare ourselves for success because that's what's in our heads.
Mm-hmm. But how do we do that? What are the steps that get you there?
Well, in sports, and actually this applies in business too in an interesting way, in a lot of things, whether you're standing up and doing a presentation, getting up in a fencing match or judo or whatever, you start by knowing what success looks like. The beginning for a beginner, or even, frankly, someone who's experienced but needs a reminder, go look at successful people. Go look at a good athlete in your sport. Back when I was a competitive fencer, when I wasn't on the strip, I would sit there and watch the really top guys fencing. And I would play it back in my head. I would try to, you know, just imagine what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, I would shift that image from them doing it to me doing it. And what I noticed was that when I got up on the strip, I would execute moves the way they did it, the way I had been imagining. The other thing that was very helpful in this is I also became much better at being able to analyze other fencers' moves. And so then if I coached somebody, I could tell them, and at this point, this guy will attack in this way, or he'll move this. This is his pattern. Go ahead. And, you know, and I could tell people. I got to the point where I could tell people how to beat somebody I couldn't beat.
Well, that's interesting. You see, I think that if I was told, and that's probably because I'm not a great athlete right now, to imagine that I'm someone who's really skilled, I would compare myself in negative ways. And I'm wondering if you tell people to do that, if that's what happens sometimes. Patrick, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I think sometimes, Stephen, we find out that a lot of the younger athletes make a lot of comparisons to their competitors. Like, for example, I work with a lot of motocross racers, young motocross racers, and when they go to the race, you know, I ask them to visualize success, and I ask them to do what we call mental laps, where they go around the track in their head. But at the same time, they have images of their competitors popping up in their head a lot, and that gets inside their head, and then they start comparing their skills to their competitors, and at the very least, it becomes a huge distraction, if not affecting their confidence in a negative way.
Right. And this, I've noticed this too. The way I've dealt with it is in a couple different pieces. One is that if I can, what I'd like to do is I work with people practicing this when we're not actually at the competition. I mean, I did this when I was at competitions because, in a sense, that was the only real opportunity to watch some of these really top fencers. It's easier now to get this on video than it was, you know, 20 years ago. But also I'd been practicing these skills for a while before I tried using them in competition. So a lot of it is to do the practice ahead of time. The other piece that I do is that when I'm first getting somebody working with this, and my daughter is a good example of someone who will do exactly what you described. She'll imagine and she'll say, but Daddy, I'm imagining all the things wrong.
Right. That's what I think.
What I'll do is I'll sit there and I'll build the scenario. It won't be a you go and image this. It will be a story that I will tell and make vivid and fill in the details so that they are following along essentially in their own mind as I work on as I do the storytelling essentially. And that storytelling, by listening to that, remember what I said before about you can only think about one thing at a time. So if I'm sitting there telling you a story about you or just another fencer or even making up a fantasy figure, you know, imagine Sir Lancelot is doing, you know, if a kid's a King Arthur fan, that now takes up the processing in your head, and that helps evoke the images. Another way to do it is to start with a video. It could be a video of a championship match or something. It could be a movie that features a well-done enactment of the sport. But anything to get the images into their heads in a quote neutral to positive way.
Huh. So as a coach, you might lead them in that session then. You have to give them a little help.
Right. Well, it's like teaching any other sports skill. You know, you can't just show it and then say go do this. Sometimes you have to walk them through and keep stepping back till you find the piece that they can execute.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've found that piece, you build from there. I mean, I have a jiu-jitsu student who has some real issues in learning physical skills. She's an incredibly smart woman, but she just doesn't deal well physically. And it's been a long road, but she's getting it. And she's getting it because I just kept working backwards till I found what she could do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just focused on that. We built on that. We built the images on that. We built the practice on that. And then we just worked up.
That's really interesting. Now, do you think you can do this without having it be a famous person?
Sure. The important thing is to give an image, the image of what you want them to see. As I said, you could do it with a movie. And, you know, fencing, one of my favorite examples, you know, watch The Princess Bride. Here's a fun movie, great fencing scene, but you can use that as a springboard for the imagery.
Ah, The Princess Bride. That's interesting. Is that a good scene of fencing?
Yeah, they trained for a year or more to do that fencing scene, and it is one of the best fencing scenes in a movie today. By the Sword is another great fencing movie with some very good real fencing in it. It was filmed at a fencing club in New York City, I believe.
Stephen, there's actually, I don't know if you've come across it, there's actually what's called a sports psychology movie database.
Really?
I don't have it in front of me. I don't have the link, but if people search for sports psychology movie database, you'll find movies by sport and by theme in terms of sports psychology, confidence and focus and composure, and they list hundreds of movies that can be, good portray of some of the themes in sports psychology.
I did not know that, but that is great to know.
When you talk about images, I assume you're using that kind of broadly or loosely because I found out over the years of working with athletes that they respond to different types of imagery depending upon their learning style and what they're most comfortable with. I was working with a PGA Tour player, this was several years ago, and we're talking about imagining successful shots, and he says, well, I can't see the shot. I don't see the shot, because I think everybody gets caught up in the word visualization. It should be a visual task. And I said, well, not everybody has the power to use visual images, and it may be just a feeling that you have. And he was just very happy to find out that he didn't have to see a shot in his mind and that he could feel it instead, which was his strength.
I've run into the same thing. And, you know, some people imagine it, they feel it. Some people hear it. Some people smell it. Mm-hmm. I don't know quite what that would be like, but I can work with it. I actually had somebody who I was working with who said, well, I can't visualize. I said, well, how do you know? And they described this visualization exercise they had done in some martial arts class where they had to imagine a rose bud opening and then closing again. And they said, well, I just can't do that. And I said, well, you know, when you dream, you know, how do you dream? And they said, well, it's usually I remember the words of the dream, but I don't remember any images. So we start to work out visual or auditory sort of imagination to help them. You know, but my basic view is if you can daydream, you can visualize in whatever form that takes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tap into that for when you're working with students or when you're working with a group? How do you know which direction to go with them? Do you test for that, or do you assume that they know which direction to go?
What I find is that one thing is I'll ask. You know, I'll ask somebody, you know, if they've ever tried visualization or whatever, and their responses will generally give me plenty of information of what works for them and what doesn't. If I'm doing a group thing, I will typically, essentially, as I describe a scene, I will describe it in different ways. So I might say some of you might see a beach, others might hear the waves, someone else might hear the seagulls or smell the salt. You know, but I'll build up the scene with a lot of different hooks to it. And, you know, whether I might feed that into a sports scene, you know, you feel the strip under your feet or you can hear the sounds of blades. And, again, the more hooks I give, the more people find a way into it. I've only met one person who flat out could not visualize.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. And your website, again, is 7stepsahead.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us again.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidsportspsychology.com.